Gary DePaul with Unlabeled Leadership. Welcome to episode 11, Jack Bucalo and the Limitations of Leadership Development Programs. If you've listened to previous episodes, you probably heard me say something like the accumulation of small acts lead to big change. Well, in this episode and in episode 14, Jack and I are going to discuss the big acts, in particular, leadership development at the enterprise level. With that, let's get started. Jack Bucalo has had a full career, but he continues to excel. He's an advisory board member and feature columnist for HR Exchange Network, and he's a columnist and feature contributor to Biz Catalyst 360 Degree. In his previous role, he was the corporate senior VP of HR and chief HR officer at Fiserv Incorporated. What's impressive, he had that role for almost 12 years, from 93 to 2005. While he was there, he partnered with the CEO and the University of Wisconsin at Milwaukee to develop Fiserv's first Executive Development Leadership Center. He also partnered with the COO of Fiserv to develop the first Quality and Service Excellence Strategic Initiative. On top of all this, he's authored more than 50 detailed and actionable articles on HR and leadership that practitioners can begin using. Of his articles, the ones I found most fascinating are the ones about leadership development, which is why I asked him to be on this episode and continuing this conversation in episode 14. For this episode, Jack and I are going to discuss traditional leadership development programs, in particular, what's wrong with them. In episode 14, we're going to discuss how to do leadership development programs the right way. Part 1, Skills Addressed in Traditional Leadership Development. If you work for a large corporation, chances are there's a leadership development program. And if you keep up with the talent development industry, at some point you will have read how U.S. corporations collectively have spent billions annually on leadership development. I asked Jack what traditional leadership development programs cover in their courses, in particular, what skills they teach. Here's Jack.
Well, Gary, as you know, typical leadership development programs cover a wide range of soft skills, from leadership styles, such as democratic and autocratic, to leadership behaviors, such as servant, morality, integrity, humility, and agreeableness, to various interpersonal skills like communications, motivating, counseling, and developing, among many others.
Yeah, I like the way you distinguish leadership styles from behaviors and interpersonal skills. Unfortunately, a lot of people get confused with these terminology. When they talk about leadership styles, what do they really mean? Well, all a style is a collection of behaviors. And all a behavior is the way a person acts or conducts themselves, especially towards others. So if you think about it, a style is just like a mannerism. It's neoclassical style is an example of a style, journalistic style. It's really a collection of things. With interpersonal skills, and some people call them soft skills or people skills, these are attributes that enable us to interact effectively with other people. Some people call them ability, competencies, but they're all kind of interchangeable, those different terms for interpersonal skills, and we could just might as well call them soft skills. But again, I like the way you distinguish leadership styles from behaviors, from interpersonal skills.
Good. For all such leadership programs, to me, it's very important to remember that the ultimate customer is the company's CEO and line executives. Now, that being said, along with HR management and middle and lower line management, that ultimate customer is important. Currently, the vast majority of leadership development programs deal with the application of various leadership styles, behaviors, and skills that are used at the lower level of management, where the problems they deal with and their solutions are pretty much one-dimensional, simple, and relatively easy to fix. Conversely, the application of leadership principles at the middle and upper levels of management are multidimensional and complex, and their solutions must be intertwined with the achievement of business objectives, which is seldom easy to do. The question then becomes, how do the CEOs and line executives evaluate the worth of these traditional programs? In survey after survey and decade after decade, CEOs and line executives have indicated that these programs, especially those for middle to upper management, have failed in their eyes.
Yeah, there are some studies out there that really show this. Jack and Patty Phillips, two of the gurus of ROI methodology, they have some quotations where they looked at a Fortune survey, and in that, 7% of the CEOs believe that companies are building effective global leaders, while 10% of the CEOs believe that their leadership development programs have a clear business impact, so only 10%. Then there's a McKinsey study that they quote, where they found that 11% of more than 500 executives strongly believe that their leadership development interventions achieved and sustained desired results. So the numbers are pretty low. Part two, why have traditional leadership development programs failed? Over the years, I've had the privilege of evaluating a large number of leadership development programs. One thing that program owners will get right is they'll divide up their learners into career levels. For example, one owner of a finance company, they would have executive development, middle manager development, and then frontline manager development, all with different emphasis. But the real question is, why do programs tend to fail? Jack has some insight into this. Again, here's Jack.
Line executives strongly believe that the mix of hard and soft skills for middle management is typically 50% hard skills and 50% soft skills, while that same mix for senior to upper management is 75% hard skills and 25% soft skills. For all jobs, the hard skills tend to come from the position's four or five key responsibilities and their related technical skills. Add to that, for management jobs, it also includes any management, financial, strategic, and broader business skills. These same executives believe that the leadership development programs for middle to upper management fail for a variety of reasons. First, they're concentrated almost exclusively on soft skill development. Secondly, they exclude any hard skills development, which they feel are critical to job success. Thirdly, they offer little or no practical business value to the amount of valuable executive time that is expended on them. And lastly, they do not directly deal with the leader's real-world business objectives and plans for which they are accountable to top management and the company's board of directors. There are two highly reputable studies published in 2016 that support these viewpoints. The first is by Ron Carucci in the Harvard Business Review article entitled, "A 10-Year Study Reveals What Great Executives Know and Do." Ron now is the founder and managing partner of Nevalent, a management consulting firm dealing with transformational change. And he was at the University of Michigan's Graduate School of Business when he authored this study. And he's also the author of over 8 business books. After interviewing over 2,700 executives, he identified 4 recurring skills that are needed for exceptional executive performance. 3 hard skills, knowing your industry, knowing your company's functional strengths, and having great decision-making capabilities based on the use of analytical and qualitative tools. And 1 soft skill, that is forming deep, trusting business relationships. Now, his use of the 3 hard skills and the 1 soft skill reinforces the 75% hard, 25% soft mix that I mentioned earlier. The second reputable study is by Jeff Pfeffer in the McKinsey & Company McKinsey Quarterly entitled Getting Beyond the BS of Leadership Literature. Jeff is a professor of organizational behavior at Stanford University's Graduate School of Business, and he's the author of over 14 business books. He states that framing leadership almost solely within the context of various soft skills substantially oversimplifies the real-world complexities of the choices that leaders face. In doing so, it reinforces the main problem of developing leadership training program content almost exclusively on behavioral and personality skills. Now, here's an important part. When you view these two studies together, for leadership development programs intended primarily for middle to upper management, Pfeffer is telling us what leadership subject content should not be overemphasized. Included, yes, but not overemphasized. While Carlucci is telling us what subject content should be emphasized.
Jack, these studies make sense to me. I get that middle managers really should be split between 50-50 between hard and soft skills and upper managers 75-25 for hard and soft skills. One of the reasons this makes sense is because we lead from the perspective of our roles. For example, someone new to middle management for the first time will have to learn how to work with indirect reports. As frontline managers, they probably only had direct report, so they may have to use soft skills in a different way than what they're used to as it applies to indirect reports. Now also, thinking about middle managers, they're expected to do a lot more decision-making using analytical tools. So that's why the 50% hard is so important. When you move up the ranks to the upper managers, that 75-25 makes sense because most of the work is going to be strategic, trying to address the business goals that they're responsible for.
Absolutely correct, Gary. Most importantly now, leadership development programs should teach leaders how to intertwine the hard and the soft skills together in an appropriate relationship, the way they should exist in the leader's real business world. The key point here for developing the subject content for these programs, the key point is that you cannot effectively, and I emphasize effectively, you cannot effectively teach leadership skills in a vacuum, devoid of their associated hard skills.
Jack, is executive accountability part of the reason why hard skills are crucial for executive leadership development?
I have found that investors and the market hold the top management of any company accountable for achieving certain business objectives over the short and the long term. Therefore, meeting and exceeding these business objectives every fiscal year is a top priority of the CEO and the line executives, and it should be a top priority of the company's leadership development function.
Jack, there's two things I got from what you just said. First, in leadership development, hard and soft skills should be taught using probable or actual circumstances rather than taught abstractly. This is what I call situational learning. The second thing I heard you saying is that leadership development should be taught from the perspective of the learner's role. For example, new managers, entry-level frontline managers, their biggest performance gap is around soft skills, for example, around building and strengthening their teams. Whereas the executive level, their biggest gap is more around hard skills. So at the executive level, usually these are more experienced and they've already developed soft skills in general. But because they're functioning at the enterprise level and they have more direct and indirect reports, their needs are a lot different.
Absolutely. There's ways you can do that.
If you're like me, you might be wondering how to combine the hard and soft skills for your leadership program. Well, Jack and I are going to talk about that, but it won't be until episode 14, which is a week from this episode. That should be February 3rd. My thanks to Jack for sharing his expertise with us on leadership development. If you'd like, go to unlabeledleadership.com, look for the message icon, click it, and leave up to a 1-minute message with a question or comment about the show, in particular leadership development. Jack and I might address it on a future podcast. Thank you for supporting the show, and thank you for listening. Until the next episode, lead on.